If you go to Romans chapter 16, I'm going to share about the great mystery tonight. We've looked at administrations last Thursday. We looked at a little bit of the book of Revelation and where some people place the rapture and what their beliefs are with the rapture, and we'll continue to do that as we study this. But you have to get to the great mystery when you talk about the church age, because that's what the church age was all about. And what I realized when I was working this again this morning, and I never ever saw it this way before, was that with many of God's great truths, especially with regards to new light, new truths that he reveals and makes available, and many times he does that this at the change of an administration, man takes what God gives, and man always has to mess it up, always has to change it, always has to do something better, always thinks that God is incomplete or that something's missing. Think about salvation. She prayed earlier about, thank you that we're saved. Salvation in our day and time is a gift given by God on the total merits of Jesus Christ. It's to whosoever. And the only thing that we have to do is to get ourselves to the place where we become humble enough and reach out and receive the free gift by our believing. And salvation in our day and time is brand new with regards to the way that God gave it. Never before was a man sealed with Holy Spirit. Never before was anyone born again of incorruptible seed. Never before could you get born again and not lose it. Have everlasting life. Can't get taken away. Every administration previous to the day of Pentecost, our administration, salvation was always conditional. It was conditional on the word. It was conditional on your walk. It was conditional on your attitude of mind. God has given us access to his heart and access to his throne room by Holy Spirit. He's given us access to forgiveness 24 hours a day. Back previous to this, there were the sacrifices. Someone had to make the atonement. Someone had to go to God on your behalf, this sort of thing. We have all these new and wonderful, glorious things. I go on and on and on and on. And it's new with the change of the administration. And somehow, today, in our administration, reasonably educated and intelligent men seem to be able to get a hold of that simple truth and screw it up and say, yes, Jesus Christ did this, but you need to be baptized. Or yes, Jesus Christ did this, but you need to do these works. Or you can backslide. Or you can lose. Major denomination has a thing called purgatory. Because they're not really sure yet. You just go there and hang out for a while. And these are people that have millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, the smartest theologians on the planet, and they come up with this kind of junk. And they wreck and they destroy what God gives us. I'm very thankful to be a simple-minded person and just receive the Word of God at face value. And when it comes to the subject of the great mystery, many Christians do not understand the uniqueness of the Church of Grace. The church and the fullness of this administration in which it exists was kept secret since the world began. It was kept a secret since the world began. The age of the Christian church was singled out by God to be called the administration of grace. And in Romans 16, verse 24, it says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So the obedience of faith. Verse 25 said, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, it didn't. It said, according to my gospel, the Apostle Paul. Now it's according to what gospel he was given, his gospel. The gospel that Paul was entrusted with was the gospel of the great mystery. You remember last week when I taught you about administrations, I taught you that throughout history, God changes the way he deals with mankind. On the day of Pentecost, once again, God changed the way he administers to mankind. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, Ephesians 3, 1, if you had heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. The word rendered dispensation in verse 2 comes from the Greek word oikonomia. It's dispensation in the English, but in the Greek it's oikonomia. And the oikonomia means the stewardship or the management of a household or of the affairs of a household. It's the oversight, the administration of another's property. It's rendered stewardship. It's called a dispensation. Strong says it's an administration. What Ephesians is telling us is that Paul was given the revelation of the mystery and charged by Jesus Christ and the Father to make sure that the church understood and managed this knowledge properly. If you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. It was given to the Apostle Paul by revelation, and it was given to the Apostle Paul for the church. The church, specifically the leadership in the church, were charged to guard the knowledge of the mystery so it could be passed on to the next generation in its pure form. Look at 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, just to show you the context, in verse chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So we're talking about people who desire the office of a bishop, and to desire the office of a bishop is to desire to be a leader in the church. In verse 8, it says, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. In verse 8, it goes on to speak about people who desire to be deacons. Deacons are also leaders in the church. They come under a bishop, but it's still talking about leadership. So we're talking about the leadership in the church, those who desire to be leaders in the church. Those who desire to be leaders in different capacities in the church. Now verse 9 says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. See? Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The leadership was charged by God Almighty. And anyone aspiring to be a leader is charged by God Almighty to hold the mystery of the faith, hold the mystery, the knowledge of the mystery pertaining to the faith, in a pure conscience. In other words, a leader is supposed to guard the knowledge of the mystery. And he's supposed to hold it in a pure conscience. He's not supposed to get defiled in his thinking, in his understanding, in his remembering, in his guarding, in his teaching of the mystery. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. First Corinthians 2, verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, or concerning the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, okay, which none of the princes of this world knew," verse 8, "for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." See, the devil didn't know, and none of the devil's cohorts knew the secret, the mystery that God kept secret since the world began. If that knowledge had leaked out, you know, this is amazing. You talk about our government, right? Our government meets behind closed doors in the Oval Office, and before our president leaves the meeting, CNN is leaking what went on in the Oval Office, right? That's a disgrace. You got rats in your own government. Before he gets out to have a hamburger after a meeting, an after meeting meeting, right? It's on TV. That didn't happen with the mystery. Do you know why that didn't happen with the mystery? And here's a great key, and it's a good key to learn for the rest of your life. If you want to guard something, don't tell nobody. And you know who God told about the mystery? Nobody. He kept it a secret. You know why he kept it a secret? Because he trusts himself. He didn't tell anybody. Nobody. Now watch this. We're talking about the mystery. We're talking about it being kept secret. We're talking about the princes of this world not knowing. But as it is written, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that" what? You couldn't read anywhere in the scriptures about the mystery. I had not seen. There was no knowledge. The prophets of olden times weren't talking about the mystery. Ear had not heard the things, and entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. That's how secret it was. I couldn't see it. Ear couldn't hear it. God kept it a secret. But God, verse 10, hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of what? Of God. And this is what I learned that I never saw before. If God went through all the trouble to hide this administration and keep it a secret since the world began, would you agree that the mystery must be extremely important to him? Now think about that for a minute. For thousands of years, he guarded this information. For thousands of years, he kept it secret. For thousands of years, he told no one, no one. This was so big, so important, so secretive, he didn't tell anybody. That's how he guarded it. 1 Peter says in chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, "Of which salvation the prophets had inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace which would come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was upon them would signify and testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Moses, pretty big prophet, right? Joshua, Abraham, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, so on and so forth. He didn't tell any of them. They saw a gap. They saw something was going to go on in the future. But they didn't know because there was no knowledge. Eye had not seen. They couldn't read about it. And ear had not heard because nobody said anything. God kept it a secret. He kept it a secret. They wanted to know. You know who else wanted to know? The angels. His own angels. He didn't tell them. He didn't say a word. What do you got up your sleeve? Don't worry about it. Oh, come on, you can tell me. I'm your trusted bud. Nope, nothing, nothing. You see, the leadership of the Christian church does not place the same value on the mystery as God did. And you got to ask yourself this question. If God went through all this trouble, and for thousands of years, and all of these things he had to get figured out, and he kept it a secret and told nobody, if it was that important, you would think that when he gave it to the church, and he charged the church in 1 Timothy 3, saying, holding fast, guard it, the mystery, guard it with a pure conscience, you would think that the church would understand the gift and the knowledge and the revelation that was handed to them. And you want to know something? They didn't. They, instead of taking the knowledge of the revelation of the mystery and guarding it, keeping it with a pure conscience, you know what they did? They just put it down as another scripture. And then you know what happened? The same thing that happens to all the other great truths that God gives men of God to guard. Salvation is no longer of grace. Salvation has grace involved, but salvation has to be completed now by works. Salvation has to be completed now by tithing. Salvation has to be completed now by baptizing. Salvation has to be completed now by meeting all the obligations of the holy days. Do you understand? Man had to take it, and man had to take what God gave him and said, now let me just be a finished carpenter, because you're just a rough carpenter. I got the frame, I got the idea of what you want, I'll take care of the rest of it. That's what man did with the knowledge of the mystery. If he guarded it for thousands of years, if he told nobody about it, would you think that it's something secret, something special, something that's so magnificent that he alone entrusted himself with it, and that was it? And then he gives us this knowledge, and he says to us, keep it. Keep the mystery. Guard it with a pure conscience. Why? So we can pass it on to the next generation. That's the charge to the leadership of the church, of the gift of God, specifically the revelation, the gift of God, the administration of grace, and the knowledge of the mystery. And what does he do? He gives it to man. He gives it to man. God created the heavens and the earth, right? Made a place called paradise. What did he do? He gave it to man. What did he say? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish it, right? Take care of it. What did man do? God's not dumb. And all through throughout history, God does all these wonderful things, and he gives man the knowledge of the law. And what's he do? He gives them the priesthood. And what's he say? Be good boys and girls. And what does man do? They make a cow. Right? And then God goes and gives them a tabernacle. And then he gives them a temple. And then he gives them all these things. And then he gives them the greatest gift that he's ever given. Who's that? Jesus Christ. And what does man do? Crucify him. This is a good lesson for a father. When you give to your children and they on you, and it says, be ye followers of God as dear children, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, I believe it is, right? What does God do? He keeps giving. If you would have thought God would have quit after paradise, right? But no, you don't think he gives the law. He gives the tabernacle. He gives the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel. He gives the temple. He gives all of these wonderful things. He gives the Lord Jesus Christ. They turn around and kill him. And then after they turn around and kill him, what's he do? He gives us the day of Pentecost. And you know what he does in the day of Pentecost in the church administration? He says, I'm going to do something that you can't screw up. That's what he does. And he says, all you got to do is believe once. Get born again. And I'm going to give you my seed. And you'll never be able to mess that up. Who can understand the mind of God? Who can understand what any time that entered into, you know, God's thoughts? Nobody can. God must love us so much. And he must have so great mercy and compassion on us that he just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. But I want you to know something. There's going to come a day where all that's going to end. And that God is going to require that the justice of God and the day of the Lord come to the earth and judge man and the earth for their evil and for their unbelief. That day hasn't come yet. So you ought to be thankful that we live in a time that we live in grace and forgiveness and mercy. Because just as God has winked at things throughout history, just as God has withheld his punishment throughout history, when we get to the day of the Lord, that's going to be a day that grace isn't going to be extended. Mercy isn't going to be extended. The wrath of the Lord will be poured out on this planet. The wrath of the Lord will be poured out on unbelieving mankind. And there's going to be believers in that administration that are going to have to endure that. Not only Gentile believers, but believers of Israel. He gave the knowledge of the mystery to the church, to the leadership of the church, and he said to the leadership of the church, I've had this a secret since the world began. I've told nobody this. I've given my son's life so I could bring this to pass. Of all the things that I've ever done, I've never kept a secret like this one, where I've told nobody. That's how important it was to me. And now I'm giving it to you, and I charge you to guard it so you can pass it on to the next generation so they can understand the knowledge of the mystery. That's how big the mystery is. That's how solemn and awesome a responsibility that a leader in the church is charged with. This gift of revelation that was kept secret since the world began, that cost God the life of Jesus Christ. He now gives this knowledge, this revelation to us in this day and time. And he says, guard it. Guard it. And for the most part, what have people in the church who were in leadership positions done? They've ignored it. They've forgotten about it. They screwed it up. They've twisted it. The book of Galatians they apply to it and make a law out of it and say, you got to have this and you got to do this. They throw it away and they change the administrations. They change God's word. Listen, when I was in the service, I was given a weapon. I was given a dog. I would say, you're on guard duty. This is your perimeter. This is what you do. If somebody approaches, this is what you say. If they don't answer, you shoot them. That's what they were. I was told. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be there the next day. I was charged with a duty, and I was told to guard it. I was given the instructions, and then I was said, now go do what you were told to do. The church was given the same thing. The church is given the same thing. The church is given the instructions of the mystery, specifically the leadership. And the leadership is charged to guard the mystery. And then God said, now go and live it. That's how big it is. Can you imagine God going through all this trouble to plan this thing out? Now listen to this. And wait patiently. Wait patiently for thousands of years. Thousands of years to put up with our BS. To put up with the devil's BS for thousands of years. For just the right time so he could manifest this revelation to us. It wasn't known in other ages. He knew it. But you want to know something? The plan of salvation, he had it all figured out. He knew that this had to happen, this had to happen. He had to endure the sight of his son on the cross and men, what they did to him. And then the resurrection, then the ascension, then the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then he said, finally, after all these years, I've waited. Now I'm going to do something that I've kept secret since the world began. Nobody knew. That's remarkable. That's remarkable. And then, after all that, you know what he does? He entrusts the knowledge of this mystery to the leadership of the church. And then he charges them to guard it, to keep it, to hold on to it, and honor it. This is what this word guard means, to keep. It means to keep it and honor it like you would your covenant relationship in a marriage. That's what Strong says that word means. And in a marriage, it says, what God has therefore joined together, let no man, what? Put asunder. In a marriage, two become what? One. See? In a covenant. It's a covenant. It's supposed to be, and we still say it in our services sometimes, to what? Death do us part. That's the way a man, a leader in a church, was charged to guard the mystery. The same way he would guard a covenant that he would make and enter into. And in a covenant, there's the people and then there's God. And the word says in Ecclesiastes, don't vow a vow that you're not going to pay because God doesn't find a lot of fun with fools that say things and don't do them. It's a covenant. That's how man was supposed to guard it. That's how the leadership in the church was supposed to understand the mystery, and they were supposed to honor it and guard it like they would a covenant. Do you let anybody touch your wife, your spouse? No. You don't let anybody touch the mystery either. But today they're throwing it all over the place. Today you look at people, you mention the word mystery, it's a secret, it's this, they look at you like you're nuts. The knowledge that man was told to guard, that the leadership was told to guard, is once again rapidly disappearing. And for a lot of people that had that knowledge, they've perverted it. They're not holding it with a pure conscience anymore. You know what it is? It's defiled. It's defiled. It's corrupted. You saw that. You were part of that. You were part of where we were saved by grace, and we were loved by God, and we were extended the mercy and compassion of God, and we had fun, and we moved the word, to where law started to enter in, and rules started to enter in, and regulations started to enter in. And then we started to point on people and say this and that and this and that, saying contrary to what the Word of God says. And then we started to teach doctrine contrary to what the Word of God says. And you know what? Nobody ever spoke about the mystery anymore. It wasn't about the mystery that God kept secret since the world began, that we were one body, the Jews and Gentiles. It wasn't about that anymore. It was about works. It was about meeting three times a week. It was about how much you could give. It was about writing out your whole life story, your whole week's story on a piece of paper to give to someone that wouldn't even read it. And saying, what's this? When you hand it to them. That's how the knowledge of the mystery got corrupted. Because the leaders that were charged to guard it by God, they were charged by God in Timothy, guard it. keep the mystery concerning the faith with a pure conscience. They did not realize or accept or dispense their duty with regard to that charge. And in the military, you'd have been court-martialed. You'd have been court-martialed. And if it was wartime and you were charged to guard a post and you left your post, you'd have been shot. That's how big it was. Hardly anybody sees how enormous and essential the mystery really is in our day and in our time. Go to Ephesians chapter 3 again. Just so we can read from the word exactly what this mystery is. Do you know what the angels would have gave sitting around wherever they sit, talking one day, to be able to go to where we're going today and read word for word exactly what God's got going on, the secret in his mind? Or the prophets sitting around. Today, you know what we can do? We can go right to the book and we can read it word by word. But they searched diligently. They couldn't find it. The angels wanted to know. They couldn't find it. And you know what? We got it written to us word by word. And for the most part, we glance right over and ignore it. When God kept secret since the world began, thousands and thousands of years, all of these things he had to put in place to get to the place where he could have the day of Pentecost, we glance right over it. They would have gave whatever to be able to read what I'm going to read with you right now. Verse 2 of chapter 3. If you have heard of the dispensation of grace which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Verse 4, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, plural, was not made known to the Son of Men, but is now, lately, revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6. There it is, one verse. They could have figured it, one verse. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whose gospel? Paul's gospel. The gospel of the mystery. In one verse of scripture, God puts down what he kept secret for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and they looked for it and looked for it and looked for it, and it wasn't there. And we can go to one verse of scripture. We could walk into the party, and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Moses and David be hanging out by the cooler, and they're all talking about, oh, what's it? Oh, how about? And the angels over there. We go, well, what's the matter with you guys? It's the Jews and the Gentiles are fellow heirs, and they'll look at you and say, how did you know that? Then you say Ephesians 3:6. That's how big it is. Them guys be sitting there talking, oh, I see, but, and what's the matter with you guys? It's Ephesians 3:6. And see, it's just like everything else that God gives us. He gives us these huge things, and then we just like, if you were one of those prophets searching diligently, when you came to this, you want to know something? You stared at that verse for days. You called every one of your prophet friends and said, you won't believe what I found. If you were an angel who wanted to look into the things that God had secret, and you came to this verse, you know what you'd do? You'd call a convention of your angel brothers. Say, you will not believe what I finally found out, what the big guy was hiding. That's how big it is. That's how big it is. Look at Colossians chapter 1. The mystery is that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs and of the same body. It doesn't say the same bride. It says of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Colossians chapter 1 verse 26 says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages, plural, and from generations, plural, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Now, we saw what the mystery was in Ephesians 3:6. This is the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? And this is why the devil would not have crucified the Lord of glory had he known the secret that God kept since the world began. Because the devil, this is so big. And so you know what? The devil doesn't want you to understand it. He doesn't want you to identify with it. And he sure as hell doesn't want you to walk in it. Because this is how big the church is. This is how powerful the church is. But the devil just tricks us out of our knowledge of it. And you know how he tricks us out of the knowledge of it? One of the ways he does that is he perverts the teaching of the mystery. He takes the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, the only secret that the Bible talks about, that I know of, that since the world began, that God kept secret to himself, that something that's way here, and he takes it and he puts it down way down here. That's not that important. That doesn't mean that. And he talks us out of the knowledge of it. And once he talks us out of the knowledge of it, we don't see how empowered we are, and we don't see our place with it. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Go back to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than all, than the least of the saints, of all the saints, is this given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of this ministry, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And I'll look at it. God chose the church, and the church is who? It's you and me. It's us. God chose the church to make known his manifold wisdom. His manifold wisdom. You know what a manifold is? Manifold, a bunch of pipes come together. In other words, it's a bunch. There's more than one. It's varied. There's a lot. It's manifold wisdom. We have a tremendous responsibility. God has given to us his manifold wisdom so that we could display it to all. Look at it. In heavenly places might be known by the church. The church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. The church is. This was something that was brand new in the administration of grace. Remember how I taught you how God changes the way he deals with people and he introduced new things? In our administration, he introduced a lot of new things. He introduced two more manifestations of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, interpretation in tongues, right? He introduced Holy Spirit by seed, incorruptible, right? He introduced salvation by grace. This is another new thing that God introduced to the church at the change of administrations. And this is the responsibility to display his manifold wisdom to the world. In no other administration, previous or after, In no other administration has God said that he would display his wisdom through people. God never said that Israel would make known his wisdom. Go look it up. Never said that. God has reserved this special grace and blessing for this church. Isn't that amazing? That's something else that's new in this administration that we've been given. We have been given the word of reconciliation. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have been charged to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the world. And how we do that? You know how you do that? First, you got to know what it is. You got to know who you are. You got to identify with Christ. And then you know what you do? You got to walk on the word of God by the Spirit of God. And when you do that, you display to the world the manifold wisdom of God. Isn't that remarkable? Your witness, your walk is a display of the manifold witness of God, manifold wisdom of God. No other administration was ever given that privilege. And that came with the knowledge of the mystery. My goodness. We are in a very unique position in history. The Grace Administration, the Church of Grace. We are in a, and you want to know something? Smart men, many people discount administrations completely. They do not believe in administrations, and they got all their theological arguments why administrations are not in the Bible. And these are smart men, quote unquote. See, the reason why they have to get rid of administrations, because if they don't get rid of administrations, they can't hold on to their theology and teach their theology about the return, about the churches in the book of Revelation, about the church as the bride, it's not the body, about the gospels, and the gospels apply to us. And we're living in Matthew 24, and we're going to look for signs and seasons and all these other things. That's why. Because if you put administrations in, you piece those sections of Scripture out and say, this is written to the Jew, this is written to the Gentile, this is written to the church, this is written to the church in the next administration. See? We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. I taught you last Thursday that there's a church out there, the Sabbath Day Church of God. If you don't go to the Sabbath, forget it. Forget it. I was there one time teaching at their church. An old woman, she got to be almost 90 years old. She came up to me. She said, are you a Sabbath Day worshiper? I said, I am today. I wasn't going to start a fight with her. But they teach that you have to keep the Sabbath. They teach that you have to keep the feast days of the Old Testament. But they don't teach you got to slaughter the lamb in the front yard and bloody up everything. They pick and choose because they don't understand administrations. And some things from one administration will dovetail into another. But there's some things in this administration that when this administration is over, it's over. It's over. We need to understand who we are, what we've been given, what we've been charged to guard, and we owe it to our loving Heavenly Father to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God that He's given us, because He has paid a great price to get this knowledge to us. We should at least be decent enough to understand the knowledge and pass it on to the next generation in its pure form and not mess it up. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you for the knowledge of it, and thank you, Father, that we can hold the mystery in a pure conscience, that we understand what you've done. We understand the great lengths that you went to protect it. And then finally, when it was time to reveal it, we understand what it cost you to be able to reveal it to us. We do not take that sacrifice lightly. We do not take all your toil and effort and secrecy lightly, that we can appreciate what you've done and we can treat this revelation of the mystery with proper understanding and proper praise and proper etiquette, Father, that we can understand that it's sacred and that we should treat it that way so we could pass it on in its pure form. We thank you for your love and all you've given us in Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen.